Just a little bit of a Bible institute or Bible study. I don't know how long you normally go. I know Pastor's got something he wants to do after service. And I think that's important. I probably ought to just let him come up and teach that. But open up to Genesis chapter 9. We're just going to look at a couple things about blood. Before I got saved, I didn't realize what was in that Bible. Amen. I just thought it was just a book, you know. All right, Genesis chapter 9, and for time's sake, we're just going to look at a couple verses. Let's go down to verse 5. Genesis chapter 9, verse 5. And surely your blood of your lives will I require, at the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for saving us, giving us a job to do, giving us work that keeps us busy about your business. Thank you for these folks that are here on Wednesday night, Lord. Take time out of their week to come to church and to listen to the Bible and to sing the songs of Zion. Lord, thank you for them taking that time and sacrificing some of their time for thee. I pray, Lord, that you'd hide me behind the cross, fill me with thy spirit. I'll take this old book and strengthen some things in Christians' lives. Well, thank you, Father, and pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a lot of things you can say about blood. Man's a bloody man, bloody person. Amen. And, of course, in the passage, he talks about capital punishment, how that capital punishment is instituted there, and it's okay before the law, during the law, Numbers 35, and after the law in Acts chapter 25. So all these folks that don't want to go through the steps of finding a person guilty of something, I guess that's the problem nowadays. Nobody's guilty. Everybody's just got some kind of a sickness. Amen? Amen. I mean now, it used to be they were drunks. Now they're just alcoholics and they're sick. No, they're just drunks. Amen. Before I got saved, I was on my way to being just like that. Amen. Amen. We never drank socially. There was one purpose in the drink, and it was just to get plastered till you couldn't stand up anymore. Amen. That's the way it was. So blood, you know, bloody man's bloody, and for 6,000 years it's been murder and war and mugging and all that kind of stuff. Pastor was kidding me about going. I have no desire to go to Detroit. Amen. I don't want to get down there and have to drag him out of put him back in the car and chase and get chased out of town by somebody. No, thank you. Amen. That's not my idea of fun. Amen. But that's the whole thing. Is man's nature. I don't know if you realize it or not, but man's nature is corrupt. Amen. He's a murderer from the beginning, the Bible says, and he abode not in the truth. And that's absolute. So there's a lot of things about blood. Now, your King James Bible is an honest book. You know that? Amen. There's no other book like this book. I mean, if this book were written by a man, there'd be somebody in there. Amen. That, you know, David or Moses or somebody would be a perfect fella. Amen. There's only one perfect person in there, right? Amen. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is that? Because He's God. Amen. That's His book. And it's about Him. And when it describes man, it tells all about man's nature. And boy, it's pretty rough. Pretty rough. Man is bloody. Now, let me show you a couple of things. It's a little Bible study. Give you just a few thoughts. Turn to Isaiah chapter 26. Am I too loud? No, okay. If you're okay, I'm all right. Isaiah 26. The importance of being in that book is it shows you who you are. And it shows you everybody else. Amen. And it describes them down to... man, it's amazing. Isaiah 26. Now the final reaping, the final fix for fallen man from Genesis chapter 4 to Revelation chapter 9 is found in verse 21. Isaiah 26, 21. For behold, the Lord cometh out of His place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. Here it comes. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. Can I say this? One of these days, God's going to make it all right. Amen. All those things that nobody knew about, God is going to bring it out. and he's going to make, I don't know how he does it, he's just going to have the earth disclose it. And there'll be nothing hidden from him. Amen. And he'll make it right. Amen. You know why you don't have to take vengeance on a brother in Christ? God will take care. Listen, you keep your heart right. You walk with him. And when you're done wrong, you submit. Say, all right, Lord, get that guy. Amen. Ladies, you want to take care of your husband? Amen. Amen. You don't gripe and get them to do something because of your griping. You say, yes, honey. And then you go down to your prayer closet, get on your knees, and you watch God do something.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's the difference. We all want to do it ourselves. One of these days, God's going to fix it all. But your Bible's an amazing book. Turn over to Genesis chapter 3. And let's look at blood through your Bible for just a couple minutes, just a few verses, and talk about what that blood does. Genesis chapter 3, and look down in verse 21. Here's the first blood that's shed in your Bible. The first blood, and it's a, I guess you could call it a pattern or maybe a forerunner of what's going to happen. Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. Well, starting in verse 20. Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Now, we don't have time to go into it, but you know the story. Eve was deceived, amen. And then Adam came up upon the scene and sees something had happened to his wife, his sweetheart, his honey bun. And he says, what did you do? And she's standing there with this thing, this whatever, grape or apple or whatever it was in her hand. And she says, the serpent did show me this and I ate. And Adam knew. Amen. Now, Eve knew too, but see, the thing is, the person who taught her was Adam, not God. Amen. Can I say this? Can I get out in the middle a little bit, guys? The spiritual responsibility is not your wife's. It's yours. Now, if you're a single lady, then you're going to have to take it on yourself. Make sure you get in the book. Amen. And then go to your pastor if you got a question. But ladies, you got a husband, then he should be the spiritual leader of the home. Now, the tragedy is what happens many times in Laodicea is that the men are so stinking rotten that the ladies have to stand up and take care of it all. Amen. We need some young men that'll stand up and say, you know something? I'm going to be God's man. I'm going to be the pastor of my house. I'm going to be the preacher at my house. Amen. We need some folks like that. The folks that just say, you know something? I don't care what the world says. Amen. Well, they want to call them all gay. We're not going to call them gay. They're not gay. They're sodomites. Amen. I need to leave that alone. But that first blood that's shed is a lamb to cover the nakedness of old Adam. And Adam was naked and knew he was naked because he had disobeyed God. And God takes that little lamb and as a foretaste of what would happen years and years later on Calvary, he sacrifices that little lamb. Amen. Now, they weren't looking back to the forward to the cross. Amen. It was just a matter of he sacrificed it. And Adam took that skin. And boy, can you imagine? He'd never seen blood before. And here's another thought. You know, you realize the question is, did that animal have blood before they fell? I don't know. But maybe not. But boy, it's the first time he'd ever seen death either. Here's his carcass, his little animal, his little lamb, sacrificed to cover his sin, to cover him up. All right, so the first blood that's shed in your Bible is a lamb. The second blood that's shed in your Bible is not a lamb. Look in chapter 4, down in verse 5, but it's a little shepherd. Genesis chapter 4, verse 5, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou dost not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. The first, The second blood that's shed in your Bible is a shepherd. A shepherd. Now, Cain and Abel had the same teaching. Amen? Amen. Their daddy Adam walked with God, and God taught him, and he taught them, so they knew that there was something that they needed to do, and Cain, out of pride or whatever he had, decided he was going to bring the best, and I think he brought the very best he had. Amen. The best watermelons and cucumbers or green beans. But it was things that came out of the ground, and God wasn't looking for something out of the ground. He's looking for that blood. And he got mad. He was wroth and slew his brother. Can you imagine? Man, that's a terrible thing. So the first blood that was shed is a lamb. The second blood that's shed is a shepherd. And then I want to look in John chapter 10. There's a lot of blood between there in the Old Testament, but in John chapter 10 we read something. It's the Lord Jesus Christ talking. John chapter 10, look down at verse 9. He ties both those things together. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Can I say this? You know what a pastor is? He's a sheepdog. You know, I'll tell you what, you got a good preacher. You better thank God for that. Amen. If he gets up in your face every now and then and calls you up funny names, amen. That's all right. Amen. You know something? If you really love somebody, amen. If you really love your wife and she gets up and, you know, she's got anchovy or something on her breath, garlic. You say, honey, come here. Here, eat this. Amen. What are you doing? Well, you're trying to keep her from embarrassment. Why? Because you love her. Yeah. Amen. But you got a pastor that stands up and he's not trying to keep you from embarrassment. He's trying to keep you from wrecking your life. Amen. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ wasn't a thief. Verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. That world doesn't love you. The world wants to use you up and spit you out. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. I am, verse 11, the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. The Lord Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. He does just that. Turn over to Colossians chapter 1. Now we're going to look a little bit about this shepherd and what he did. This good shepherd. He's better than any other shepherd I've ever known. Amen. Amen. He's led me in the ways, in the paths of righteousness. Amen. Amen. Though I'm weary, there's a place of rest there. Colossians chapter 1, look down in verse, we'll start in verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Man, you ought to be shouting right there. God, are you saved here this evening? You know the Lord Jesus Christ and the full pardon of sin, then I want you to know something. God has made you meet for some things. He's made you acceptable for some things. You match up with some things. All right? To be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Man, that's going to be something. That's not going to be much. I don't know. The only fellow who ever saw it was Paul. Amen? Remember he got stoned and he was dead? And he got up to the third heaven, came back, and God stuck him back in that bruised and broken and bleeding and sore body. Can you imagine? I don't know about, can you imagine being stoned with rocks? You ever been hit with a rock? One? Amen. You ever had a stone bruise on your heel? Old Paul gets stoned and he's, I don't know how long he laid there in that pile of rubble. And God goes up there and he sees a little bit of his inheritance. And God brings him back down and sticks him in that body. You know what he did? Now, if it had been you or me, what would we do? I'd have jumped up and run out. Man, where's the fat? I got to have a motorcycle or something. I got to get out of here. He stands up and goes back in the city. I think he went right back to where he was at when they took him out to stone him and stood up there on the same place and got to preaching. Amen? Why? From then on, man, the guy is suicidal. He saw something. Well, what inheritance. And God's done that for you. How did he do that? Verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Have you noticed how black the world is? I mean, my soul, man. The fingernails are black now. I mean, the whole world's goth. It's an absolute shambles. And who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom, His dear Son, we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. There's the key. There's that good shepherd. That good shepherd gave his life for the sheep. Boy, I don't know about you, but he's hanging on that cross. He's hanging between two thieves. And he's up there, and they try to get him to come down. And we sing that song. He could have sent, he could have called 10,000 angels, and he could have. One angel killed 185,000 folks in one night. If he'd have called 10,000, you know what happened? It would have been all she wrote for the humankind. But that Bible says that God is love. Amen, folks. Hearing His love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and gave Himself. You know what every young lady wants to know? She wants to know if that guy loves her enough to give himself, sacrifice, amen, for her. Amen, amen. That's it. Why is that? She knows down the depths of her heart that there is somebody that's done that for her. That's Jesus Christ. If you're here this evening, you know the Lord Jesus Christ, man, He has given you redemption. He's bought back. Amen, He's redeemed us. Now, there's some things about that blood, and that blood is what He did it with. Now, I'm going to give you a couple of things real quick, and then I'm going to close it with a verse and then apply it. All right? The first thing I can say is this. Turn to Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. Colossians chapter 1, verse 14 tells us, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Man, I'm glad my sin is gone. The guy sang during the meeting. I love that song. You ask me where I'm happy, so I'll just tell you why. Because my sin is gone. That's it. Amen. So how did it get gone? The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. Amen. Sure did. All right, Colossians chapter 1. Look down in verse 20. Colossians chapter 1. Oh, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled. Man, what a thing. You ever reconcile a checkbook? So you got to have money to reconcile a checkbook, right? But you know, that's what it is. Man, the balance was put out here and you're on one side and God was on the other, and you realize right now that there was no hope. Amen? God says, you know what, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll reconcile that thing out. Amen? By that blood, I'll square it away so that you and I have peace. For I got saved to have a lot of peace. You know why the world has to have a drink or a toke on something or a pill, amen, or a needle in the arm? They're looking for something this world is so deceptive. It just says, well, if you just try this, it'll satisfy you. Amen? Amen. The Japanese have a saying, it's a man take drink take man. There was a cigarette commercial one time. Lucky Strikes, they satisfy. You know, I've never had one cigarette satisfy me. Amen. I always had to have a second. Amen. Don't you remember before you got saved and you were lost? I mean, you'd have a party one week, and all you could do is think about Friday night or Saturday the next. But the next party had to be bigger. Amen? Why is that? Because there's no satisfaction in it. Boy, I don't know about you, but December 15th of 1977, I received Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. And you know what? From that day to this, I it's peaceful. If I can understand how some of these guys go postal. Listen, they are flooding across the border in Texas and Arizona. They're estimating 40,000 this year, 90,000 next year, and 145,000 kids the year after, because the Mexicans and Guatemalans and all those Hispanic folks, they know that if they can just get them kids across there, we'll take care of them. Or Obama will. I don't have to be worried about that kind of stuff. Why is that? Because I got a Savior. He's going to fix it. I need to hurry. All right? We got peace through His blood. All right, what else? Turn to Romans chapter 5. Give you a couple little things and then finish up. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, look down at verse 9. Verse 8, Romans 5, 8. But God commendeth His love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath. Amen. Through Him. A lot of preachers describe, explain justified as just as if I'd never sinned, but that's not good enough. Because it's not just that. It's bigger than that. Justification is a judicial act whereby the judge declares someone righteous. He doesn't put that judgment on that person. Let me ask you something. Are you justified here tonight? Man, you talk about a blessing. God took all of you, that sinful you that was against Him and against nature, amen, and He justified it. He said, I understand it. If you'll receive my Son, I'm going to give you justification. I'm going to give you a standing and a position with me, and it's going to be perfectly sinless. But are you saved? Man, you got something. I'm justified through that blood. All right, what else? What else am I done through that blood? Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, look in verse 7. Start in verse 6. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. I'm redeemed. I've been redeemed, not with silver and gold, amen, but with the precious blood of God Almighty, Jesus Christ. Man, I was in the devil's pawn shop, amen, hanging there on the wall. I like pawn shops. You talk about, you get a real bargain, amen. Y'all don't go to pawn shops? I've got a couple of accordions at a pawn shop, amen. Yeah, I mean, you go in there, and a lot of times they don't know what they got, and you get a real bargain. But you go in there, and I had a friend, old Danny Etherton. He was part Indian. He was down at PBI. First time I saw him, he was on a shrimp boat in Norfolk Harbor. It was December, and he was running the stove, had a little bitty cab, and he was running the stove in the cab to try to keep warm, amen. And old Danny got saved and went on down to PBI and graduated, and he's a character. But old Danny, you get down there, he did a little bit of construction, brick mason and painting, and he got hard up several times. And he had this little old CD player, or back then it was tape player. And he'd take that tape player down to that pawn shop, and he'd pawn it. They'd give him a little ticket. And he'd get $10 for it, amen. He'd take that $10 and go buy him something, and, you know, some lunch or supper, pay a bill, whatever he had to do. And then when he got paid the next time, he'd come back, and he'd take that little ticket. And he'd go in there and say, I need to buy back my boom box. And they say, here you go. Okay, it'll be $12. You know, it costs the Lord Jesus Christ more to buy you back than you're worth? Sure did. Story told about a little boy years ago. It illustrates this point real good. Little boy was, you know, it was way up north here somewhere, and in the wintertime got real cold. And so his daddy was a woodworker, and let the boy come down in his wood shop, and he got to working, and he decided he's going to make a little sailboat. So he got the little pieces of wood together and sanded them all down. You know, made the transom perfect, and the hull, and the, what's the thing? What's it called? It goes in the bottom. No, not the mast. Goes in the water. Keel? Is it? No, it may be keel. There's a special. The board. There's a keel board. Keel board. That's what it is. Anyway, so he made the keel board and all the little parts, and we put a tall mast on it, and make, you know, worked and sewed the sails and put strings on it, got the whole thing, had a little rudder and everything. So he takes that little boat, painted it white with baby blue, and boy, he had it all. It was beautiful. He loved that little boat. Well, spring came, you know, and he went down to the local stream, and he was running his boat back and forth. Of course, the stream was swollen with the snow melt, and pretty soon it took off. He couldn't catch it, and it was gone. Well, he was so discouraged. Well, he's walking down through town a couple of weeks later, happened to walk by the hardware store. Looked in the window of the hardware store, and there's his boat. So he walks in there and says, "Mr. Jones, Mr. Jones." Mr. Jones was back there with the nails and different things. And he said, come over and said, "What's wrong, Johnny?" He said, "Mr. Jones, you've got my boat in your front window." "So what do you mean?" "So that's my boat. I made that boat. It's in your front window." "So wait a minute now. A farmer found that way down on in the next county and brought it to me, and I bought it from him." He said, oh, "Mr. Jones, I got to have my little boat back." He said, "Well, Johnny, I'm sorry, but I paid him a quarter for it." I got to have my little boat. Can I buy it from you?" He said, "Yeah, I have to have at least 30 cents. So he went out, boy, he started doing things. He did little chores here and there, amen. And he finally got a few pennies together, and he picked up pop bottles and took them in. When I was a kid, you got 10 cents a pop bottle. Boy, it was great, man. he finally got 30 cents. Goes in there to Mr. Jones and gave him the 30 cents. And Mr. Jones took that boat and put it in his arms. Boy grabbed that little boat and he walked out of that hardware store and he says, "Little boat, you're mine, all mine, I love you. So I made you and I lost you. I found you and I bought you." You know what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you? He made you. Boy, because of sin, well, the whole world's lost. If you're here this evening, you've never been saved. You've never received Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior. Your problem is you're lost. It's not that you have shortcomings. It's not that you're not as, you know, you just don't live up to your own expectations. You're lost without hope, without God. If you died tonight, you'd bust hell wide open. And you'd spend eternity in everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels, not prepared for you. Jesus Christ came to the world to save sinners. Well, a woman, boy, girl will just take their place as a sinner, God will save them. Amen. So he redeemed it. Well, we're saved in Ephesians chapter, a bunch of other stuff, and I'll, for time's sake, I'm going to hurry. We're saved by the blood in Ephesians chapter 2. The capstone is in Acts. Turn over to the book of Acts. It's an amazing verse in an amazing book written by God Almighty. Oh, you say, that's not true. That's just the writings of people. There's errors and mistakes. No, the error is between your ears. Amen. Amen. Read through it many times. I have looked at the errors. I'll be honest with you. When Doc showed us, you know, problem text class, and they went through, I looked at it and I said, I don't see the problem here. Amen. I'm not real smart. I didn't have a problem with it. Amen. Acts chapter 20. Let's start in verse 26, that's a rough verse. Acts 20:26, "Whereunto I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men." Boy, I don't know if I can say that in my life. Am I pure from the blood of every man that I've come across? They can give them a gospel tract, or at least, man. But Paul could. Paul was pure. That's a tough verse. Verse 27, "For I have not shunned," here's how why he was pure, "for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." Verse 28, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock," and he's talking to a preacher, "over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." Whose blood? But who's talking in there? God. Acts 20:28 is one of the greatest verses on the deed of Jesus Christ. Because the blood that was shed on Calvary was not just a man's blood, it was God's blood. That's why it is important that he was virgin born. Amen. The JWs are all wrong. They're crazy. So let me ask you this question now. So let's apply it a little bit. He's made you righteous. Amen. We're justified by his blood. We're redeemed by that blood. Amen. We're purified. We're cleansed. We didn't go into that. We're cleansed by the blood. Amen. 1 John. I don't know about you, but I thank God for those verses. So if God's given you a position in Him, a standing pure and sinless and holy in Him, He's washed away every sin that you ever thought about. They're gone. They're under the blood of Jesus Christ. They're as far, the Bible says, as far as the east is from west. That's pretty far. Can you show me where the East Pole is at? They're gone. Amen. In the sea of God's forgetfulness. That's good enough for me. So let me ask you a question. Is it too much of God to ask you to do a few things? Say, preacher, is it too much for God to ask you to go to the Philippines? No. Not at all. Is it too much for God to ask you to pray a little bit every day? You know, you saw a picture of my wife. She's a sweetheart. Amen. Thank God for her. We got married in 6 weeks. She didn't have a clue. Took her down to the PBI. And there was five guys living in my trailer. Amen. Now, when I was there were no roaches. We walked in. They had taken over. Old John Stone had them. They were marching across the floor. They were in formation, man. I love her. She's a good woman. I forgot what I was going. Preacher. Old age syndrome. Is it too much for God to ask me to take care of my family like I should? Men. Amen. You know, many times you go to an independent Bible-believing Baptist church, you see more ladies than you see men. We need some men that will stand up and be men. Amen. Take care of that woman. Man, if you are so threatened and so weak that you have to hit a woman, there's something wrong with you, buddy.
Yes.
Amen. I mean, if my wife turned around and slugged me, I would laugh. I'm like, sweetheart, that was a nice one. Yeah. Try it again. Have you ever seen a woman? I mean, I'm sorry. Bless her. I guess unless they're one of these UWF fighters or something. I don't know. Is it too much? It's not too much. Here's the Savior that's paid it all, given it all for you. Why don't you want to spend time with Him? You know, I do every now and then. I do call her up. I'm on the road. Hey, baby, how you doing? Amen. You know if I never call her, never talk to her, you know what happened? She'll think that I'm mad at her. I wonder if the Lord thinks about you if you're mad at Him. Amen, guys. So I'm busy, yeah? Who isn't? You have to purpose in your heart. You say, okay, God, I may have to get up 15 minutes earlier. Amen. Oh, you're a preacher. You don't get up till 9 o'clock. Get out of here. 6 a.m. every morning. Eyes open up. I'm awake. Of course, 9 o'clock, I'm asleep. I guess what I'm saying is this. If He's done that for us, then we can do something for Him.
Amen.
And if I read my Bible right, and He's prepared an inheritance for us, and if I, after listening to Brother Caesar, he really illustrated some things and really made it clear as far as rewards. Can you imagine? Can you imagine standing in front of all the Christians who have ever lived and having your name called out? And have come before Him in regal robes prepared by His goodness, standing in Him, perfectly sinless, and have Him say to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well, if you're not reading your Bible, you're not a good and faithful servant. Amen. If you're not witnessing, you're not a good and faithful servant. Those are just the basic things. But then have Him take a crown of rejoicing or a crown of righteousness or there's seven of them at least, and put it upon your head in front of everyone, in front of the Father who, man, that'll be a day. And then you get the opportunity to take that crown off and cast it at His feet. Amen. Because listen, it's all Him. I mean, we wouldn't be here doing it. Listen, if it hadn't been for Calvary and what He did for us, we wouldn't be sitting here. Amen. We'd be out. We wouldn't be anything at all. I mean, if the Lord calls you to the Philippines, Lord, it's not too much for me to go. Calls you to preach, Lord, it's not too much for me. I can leave my will and my desire and my plans behind. That blood has made it worthy to sacrifice everything to go for Him. Father, thank You for the folks that are here.